you take your Bibles, open the book of Proverbs, chapter number 19. Proverbs 19, this great book of wisdom.
The title of the message tonight is His Fault. Is His Fault. That's the title of the message. Proverbs 19:3, the Bible reads, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." You and I understand that in the carnal nature of man, it's commonplace, it is natural to excuse ourselves. And we become, early in life, we become masters at excuses. And from the time we learn how to talk, as just a little toddler, we learn quickly to say, "He did it. She did it." And we learn quickly when trouble was, "Well, they told me to do it." You remember what your parents said? All of them said the same thing. If they told you to jump off the moon, would you do it or whatever? And so very early in life, when confronted with those things, we often would say, "Well, he made me do it." I remember a fellow I used to pastor, and he was the older brother. And he said, as usual, the baby got by with everything. And said, "We was raised up on a farm before school, the break of day, even before our breakfast, we had to go feed all the stock and all that kind of stuff." And he said, "I, of course, would go up there grumbling like everybody else. One eye half closed, one eye half open. Go out there in the smelly stalls and feed all the stuff. We had cows and we had goats and we had horses and we had chickens and all that kind of stuff, hogs. And me and my brother would have to go." My brother, when he was about 7 or 8, finally had a plan one day to get out of it. He went squalling back to the house and told Mama that I was sitting on a stump making him do it all. He said the problem was that was a 100% lie. Mama hugged him, sat him down and fed him breakfast, and tore up my hide when I got back in. And said, "For the next 2 weeks, you'll feed all the stock by yourself." He said, "You know what I did that afternoon?" He said, "You lie like that, and I got a whooping. Guess what? Every time I get a whooping, you're getting one." And he said, "I tore my little brother up." And he started to run and tell Mom and Daddy what happened. And he said, "Remember, when they tear me up, what's going to happen tomorrow morning? I'm going to tear you up." He said, after that, we went and fed the livestock together. And that was the end of all that foolishness. Very quickly, we learned, to make excuses and find fault with others. And that comes natural. It doesn't have to be taught. It's a part of this old carnal nature. And oftentimes, we blame others for the consequences of our own choices. And that is very prevalent in our society. We live in a society where no one is required, to face up to their own decisions and their own choices. We find that it is run crazy in our society. Matter of fact, our society feeds that kind of thinking. And it gives people an excuse. And it rewards people for doing nothing because they begin to come and they begin to plead their innocency and they didn't have a chance and all those kind of things. And we find that that even in the realm of psychological sciences and health sciences today, they pick up the same philosophy. So you go sit on the couch and he makes you feel better and tries to heal your mind by blaming everything and everybody for everything that's happened to you. And you pay him $200 and he probably giggles under his breath as you leave. You know why? Because you feel better and he feels better. He feels better because you paid him. You feel better because it's not really my fault. And so we have a society that encourages this kind of thinking. And we have even in the political arena and educational arenas, we have all the same type philosophy. And it's because they reject the truth of the Bible. They reject the truth of the Adamic nature. What is the Adamic nature? Well, the root word for Adamic is Adam. Adam sinned. And Romans tells us when Adam sinned, what happened? He passed sin to every other person. And so we're born with a sin nature. Our problem is internal. But the world, since they deny the Bible truth, they proclaim the opposite. That's not a surprise, because we know the devil is working in the world, and whatever the truth is, the world's going to take the exact opposite position. And so the world philosophy is there's good in everybody. And listen, it was your circumstances, it was external things that caused you to react in a negative fashion. That's the reason the world's cures will never work, because they're always completely wrong in solving man's problem. Man's problem is not his environment. Man's problem is the sin nature that he's born with. And so we find here in our text that even God himself becomes the object of blame. Notice what he says here. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. Listen, what happens? The consequences of his choices have come back, and now he's dealing with the hardship of it, when in reality it was his own foolishness. Notice what it says. And his heart fretteth against the Lord. You know what that means? That means that he blames God for his circumstance. He's blaming God. Now let me say this. In our scripture, there is a measure, a slight measure of correctness in the thought process here. You say, how in the world could there be any correctness in it? Well, there is, because number one, listen, if you're going to blame God, then that's a confession that there is one. One of the contradictions of atheism is that many times they said there is no God, but then when they look at the world problem situation, they blame God for what's going on in the world, and hey, you can't blame God if he doesn't exist. And so at least here, there is a measure of correctness in this man's thinking. He is acknowledging that there is a God. He's acknowledging that there's a God who is powerful, who rules and governs over the affairs of life. And so he's blaming God. Why? Because he recognizes that God has power to change things. That God has power to control things. And so there is a measure of correctness in the fact that he believes that there's a God who governs, and that there is a God who takes knowledge of our lives. He is admitting here that God knows him. He's admitting here that God knows where he's at, what he's going through, and what he's facing. And so there is some measure of correctness in his thinking. And you and I understand that God is, and God can, and God knows, and God does. And we certainly believe that. But notice there is a fundamental flaw because of the blindness of unbelief. The blindness of unbelief has affected this individual. You and I understand in light of Scripture that man's world, his society, and his life suffers primarily because of the consequences of sin. Whether it be mine personally, whether it be ours collectively, the world suffers because of man's sin. Genesis reminds us in chapter 3:17, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life." God said, you chose to disobey me. You chose not to obey my commands. You have rejected the law that I gave you. and you have chosen rather to choose of your own free will to disobey. And he said, now, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Notice the ground is cursed for thy sake. It wasn't just for punishment. It was to suppress the idle time of the flesh. Listen, you and I, if we stay real busy, most of the time we stay out of trouble. It's our idle time we often get in trouble. And the God said this was for your sake. Why? Because now you have introduced the power of sin and you have awakened the power of the flesh with the knowledge of evil. And so God said, the ground's cursed for thy sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And so we need to understand some basic things before, listen, God can help us, before God can heal us, we got to know what the problem is. We got to have a diagnosis from the Lord. And so we understand the curse of sin is upon this world we live in. Why? Because man chose to rule in the flesh rather than submit himself to the law of God. The end result, we have a mess. We have a mess. Some people say, well, you know what it's like when government runs things? You know what government is? It's a bunch of men. That's what it is. It's a bunch of men. And most of the men, now listen, are indulging their flesh. So when man begins to rule, we have a mess. And we're living with a mess in our world because Adam had opportunity to submit himself under the fact that God has a right to rule. God is creator. God is holy. God is powerful. Listen, God is wise. God knows all things. Listen, Adam had a chance, listen, to submit himself unto the rule of God. But rather he chose, listen, I'm going to rule. I'm going to do as I see. And so therein is the problem with our world. Therein is the end result. The Bible reminds us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. So what do we have today when the flesh rules? You know what we have? We have greed. We have covetousness. We have violence. We have meanness. We have cruelty. We have hate. We have war. We have death. All of that comes from man's rebellion against God. All that comes from man's flesh. And so, as I look around, I understand that. You're a wise person if you have an understanding of what God has revealed about this world. When I look and I see misery, you know what I think? That's man for you. When I see starving children, you know what I think of? That's man. You can tell he's ruling. When you have corruption everywhere you turn in society, when you see the moral depravity, you know what that is? That's man. That's man's rule. That's the flesh. The flesh demand to be God. We're following the devil. Remember what he did? Old Lucifer. He rebelled against the throne of God and set out to establish his own throne. And has led men to follow the same suit. And so we fight for our own controls. My life, I'll do as I please. God lets you draw in every breath you draw. But it's my life, I'll do as I please. And we see the end result. And so I hope today, tonight, that you have that basic understanding of what is wrong in our world and where it came from, where it originated, and see what the solution is. The solution is not going to be a series of Band-Aids, right? We're not going to be able to treat simply the symptoms. We're going to have to treat the cause. And we know what the cause is. It goes back to man's sin. Now, I cannot do anything about other than sharing the gospel. I cannot cause another man to quit sinning. I can tell him about Christ, and Christ can. I can submit myself to the rule of God. I can make Jesus Christ my Savior, my Lord, and through His power, we can overcome the power of sin through Christ in our life. Romans 6, the whole chapter speaks of that. Now, let me say this. Your circumstances may be difficult. Influence in your life may be strong, yet man is given a free will. Isn't it something about our natures? Man fights in this world for a free will. Then he doesn't want to own up to his own circumstances because of the choices he made. And so God has given us a free will. And yet we know that choices have consequences. Seldom in our life, probably never, but I certainly would say seldom, are we by force made to choose against our wills. Probably never, at least seldom, have we been forced to choose against our wills. And we understand something. Here is a man, and he has recognized the consequences, the difficulties, the hardships, the sufferings of his own way, but he rejects the knowledge that it's because of his choices, and rather he excuses himself by blaming God. Now note with me some scriptures, Isaiah 59:2. Listen carefully. The Bible says, "But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you." This man now has, he has come and brought accusation against God. He's acknowledged that there is one and that He's powerful and that, listen, that He superintends life and that He changes circumstances, that He overrules, that He is aware of the knowledge of life and of my life, but he doesn't really know God. That becomes evident. The blindness of unbelief have robbed him from the knowledge of our God. And the Bible says because of his iniquities, it separated him from God and it has hid his face from you. That is sin. Listen, it blinds men to the knowledge of the true God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in Jeremiah 5:25, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." What a powerful scripture. He said, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, your sins have withholden good things from you." And so here's a man that doesn't really know God, and so therefore he hasn't really known the good things of God. Because of the blindness of his own sin, God has revealed himself to the world. God desires to be known. That's why we have a Bible. God wants to be known. And when you and I come, we discover, when we seek him in truth and in spirit, we discover how that God is life. Not death, God is life. God is all about life. Creator, Savior, Sustainer. We discover that God is holy. He's the opposite of sin. God is holy. God is love. We discover that God is good. God has revealed His glory to man. God has revealed His goodness to man, but sin has hid the face of God and sin has withheld him from good things. And so the Bible reminds us in Romans 2:4, "Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God." In Exodus chapter 15, Moses was leading the people out. And when they had come through the land and God had buried the Egyptian army in the sea and they had been delivered and God had promised them of the land flowing of milk and honey, they were rejoicing. And we find the first song in the Bible called the Song of Moses when he began to celebrate and sing of the mercies of God in His great power. He has redeemed us and He has drowned our enemies in the depth of the sea. And we've been delivered. Our prayer's been answered. And from the bitter bondage of Egypt and from the certainty of death under the tyrant's rule, we are now free and God has blessed us. And He began to lead in this glorious song of praise unto God. But it wasn't long until the nation was inconvenienced because of a lack of water. You know what they did? They murmured against Moses. And the Scripture says it wasn't Moses you murmured against. He was murmured against God. Murmured against God so quickly, so quickly. You see, the truth is, they didn't really know God. They had not gained the true knowledge of the goodness of God Himself. Somehow, they missed it. Moses saw it. And listen, when the Holy Ghost gave him that song, they had witnessed the great power of God. They had witnessed as they prayed. How in the world, listen, can we escape this bondage? And they cried unto God, and God sent them Moses. We don't have equipment. We don't have an army. We don't have swords and spears. The Egyptians are powerful. They're in rule. We're in bondage to them. We're subservient to them. How in the world could we ever escape this? But they prayed and cried. And listen, Moses also excused himself. And God, why in the world would Pharaoh listen to me? And listen, God finally stirred him up, sent him into Pharaoh. And they saw the miracle power of God in their behalf to set them free. And we saw the great plagues come upon them. And then we saw the Red Sea. And we walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. And we saw the miracle of the walls of water as God led us through. And we saw the Egyptian army coming to the rear. And when they got in the midst of the sea, the water caved in. And they saw the mighty power of God to set them free. But guess what? We're out of water and we're upset about it. You know what they said? God brought us out here to die. You know what's the problem with those people? They were blind as a bat in seeing the goodness of God. You know that's exactly what transgression and sin and ignorance will do. It will rob you from seeing how good God is. You and I have experienced our own life and the ups and downs of life. When we were not near and close to the Lord, we didn't see that goodness. But when God began to revive our hearts, when God began to kindle a flame in us, we began to realize just how merciful God's been and how good He's been, how blessed we are and the kindness He showed to us. And we go back and we see again, our eyes are open to what it meant to be saved and what price was paid that Jesus gave for us and what God did in order to rescue and to redeem us. God opens our eyes and we begin to see as never before the goodness of God, and we begin to praise Him, give thanks and worship Him and shout His glories. How when God removes the blinders of sin, then we can see that God is good. God's all about life, not about death. You see, God not only revealed His glory, but God also revealed the way of life. This man here, his perverted way is because of his own foolishness. He don't see it. All he blames is God. It's all God's fault. He hasn't really understood. He hasn't seen clearly the glory of God. He hasn't seen that God also revealed not only Himself, but God revealed the way of life. You know what? Thank God there is life after sin. Amen? Adam sinned. The whole human race has sinned. All of us stand before God and all guilty. And all we like sheep have gone astray. And there's none that seeketh after God. All of us have come short of the glory of God. All of us have missed the mark. All of us has transgressed. But God has chosen in His mercy, even though we have sinned against Him, even though we've turned against Him, God has come to show us the way of life. Thank God, it's not over. Even though I've sinned and transgressed the Lord, thank God it's not over. He is revealing a way of life. It's a way of life. What does God want for you? He wants you to have life, not dead. God is for you, not against you. The sin problem, the curse of the world is still here. The flesh is here. The devil is here. You and I have made a bed and we have lain in it, but thank God there is mercy with the Lord, and there is a great Redeemer, there is a Savior, there is a Shepherd who will lead us. And listen, He will take us from our fallen condition. He'll take us from our lost condition. He'll take us from our feeble condition, and He will raise us up again, and He will show us that even though we've sinned and failed, He will show us that there is a way of life, that once again we can know joy, and we can know peace, and we can know eternity, for He has shown the sinner, the failure, He has shown that there's a way of life, and He's revealed it. This man has blamed God for the pitiful condition of his life. Because of the blindness of his iniquity, he hadn't seen that God is great and God is good. He hasn't seen the love of God. He hasn't been aware and understood that God loves him. And he hasn't seen that God has revealed a way of life for him. God's message is that we do not have to continue in the way of transgression, which is hard. We don't have to continue in the way of darkness. We can walk in the light of truth. We can walk the pathway of life that God has revealed. And listen to what He told Israel, even the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. God said, I set it right before you. There it is. I have shown you there is a way of death and cursing. There's a way of life and blessing. And you ultimately make that choice. And God's desire is that we choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we'll not walk therein. We know that Jesus Christ came, and Jesus Christ came to give life. The Bible records for us in John 10 when Jesus began to reveal the great truth that He is the Good Shepherd. Jesus revealing to them why He came. And He said, the thief came not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Thank God there is life after sin. Thank God there is life after transgression. That if I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen, He will lead me in the paths of life. And He said, I have come for that purpose, to rescue the fallen and the sinner and the transgressor. I have come to lead them into life more abundantly. And so, listen, He said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so we have a Redeemer in Christ. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of the death, that is the devil. Jesus came to destroy the one who has the power of death, the devil. Understand here, as we look at the scripture, the foolishness of this man is why his way is perverted. Why his circumstances have become bleak and his way is hard. Why he is grieved. Why he bears up under guilt. Why he faces so much sorrow. It was because of his own choices. But he carried it even a further step, far more tragic, because his heart fretted against the Lord. And he blamed God for his situation, blamed God for his circumstances, when in reality it was his own choices. But thank God, listen, God has revealed to us that even though we bear up under the consequences of our choices, there is mercy with the Lord. There is healing in His wings. Listen, there's an ointment that God gives that's healing. There is salvation in the Lord. There is redemption. There is forgiveness of sins. And God came to us and showed us the way of life. And it's a way of abundance. And if we will walk in it, listen, God will reveal the joy and peace of His presence. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God is good, my friend. God is holy. And God delights to give. And what God desires to give the most is life. But God is not going to enable a man in furthering his own self-destruction. And the Bible said, as we read in Jeremiah, that man's iniquities has caused him to withhold good things. God's not going to bless a man who chooses the pathway of death. No, God is going to gain his attention. God is going to woo after him. God is going to press upon him the need of God and the need of redemption, the need of salvation, the need of God. And so therefore, listen, he will bring a burden of conviction upon a man that he might turn his heart toward the Lord. Listen, thank God, even after sin, there is a way of peace. There is a way of joy. There is a way of abundance. There is a way of life. And it's found by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that He will lead us in the paths of life. I live in a world that's in a mess. You and I live in a world that's under the great curse. And sorrow and trouble is no stranger to us all. But aren't you glad today because of Jesus Christ? Even in the midst of it all, I get to walk in the paths of glory. I get to walk down a pathway of joy and peace because we have put our faith in Christ. And we know, listen, that even though we deal with our own flesh and we deal with the temptations and all that's around us, thank God as we have depended upon Him daily, He has given us victory. And listen, He has enabled us to overcome. And He's breaking the bondage, listen, of the lust of life. He's breaking the bondage of old chains of sin. And He set us free. And God has come in and He has changed us the inside out. And God has given us a desire for things that are right, true, and good, so that God has helped me to make right choices. You made a right choice today. You know what you chose to do? You chose to come to the house of God. I want to tell you something. Flesh didn't make that choice for you. That was God in you making that choice. That's God in you making that choice. Aren't you glad, listen, that we have an opportunity, and maybe sometime tomorrow you'll feel a desire and an urgency to have fellowship with God, spend some moments in His Word, give praise and thanks, and ask Him to help you through the day, bless you and keep you safe, and to teach you something from the Word of God. The flesh didn't occasion you to make that choice. That was something God did. God did. Isn't it amazing that God didn't take away my free will? You know what He did? He corrected my heart to make right choices. That's what He did, not what I did. I didn't wake up one day and say, you know what, today I'm just going to make all the right choices. No, you know what I did? I asked Jesus Christ to be my strength, my helper. I asked Him to help me to overpower the flesh. I asked Him to fill me with His Spirit. And when He does, listen, He will lead you to make right choices. Choices that will come back to be a blessing upon your life. That will reward you. Listen, that will come back and prove a harvest of abundance in your life. And you and I, we walk with Him. We seek Him every day. We follow Him. We obey Him. We trust in Him every day. And we ask Him, Lord, help me. And Lord, give me strength. Give me grace. And Lord, give me power. Give me understanding and wisdom that I might make right choices before the Lord Jesus Christ. My choices were corrupt. They were driven by the flesh and the lust of life. But after sin, when Christ came into my heart, God leads me to make right choices. Preacher, how can I start in life pathway today and make right choices? Fill your heart and life with Christ each and every day. And by His presence, He will lead, guide you, and give you a desire to make right choices. You and I, we know the world is still here. We know the flesh is still present. But as long as Christ is there, He overrules it all. And His great, powerful Spirit will enable us to be free to make right choices. And aren't you glad that even though there's a consequence from all of our choices, aren't you glad that God is still merciful? You know what I found with God? God warns us, you reap what you sow. But God also promises there's mercy with the Lord. You know what that means? God oftentimes chooses not to let you have the full-blown effect of your choices, but He shows you some mercy along the way. I thank God He does. I thank God He does. That's His mercy and His grace bestowed upon us. You see, there's a way of life. God's come to reveal it. I have to understand this. Oh, so much sorrow, guilt, problems because of my foolishness. I made wrong choices. But thank God, there's mercy with the Lord. There's life after sin when we put our faith in Christ. And if I walk with Him, He will work in my life so that I will make right choices in the future. And He will bring abundance of joy and peace to my life. That's imperative that we call upon Him every day. For He's the only one that keeps us on the paths of life. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the good Word of God. Thank You for the great truths. God, thank You for such grace and mercy. Thank You for the power of the Word and the Spirit in our life. Father, Lord,